Kultur um 5.
De Roman River East, River West kom ufangslächt Joer bei den Editionen William Borrow an Duckworth raus. Geschicht spielt zu Shanghai a China, erzählt get so ofwissend aus der Perspektiv von der Teenagerin Alva an ihrem Stiefpap Lu Feng. Beit hun eng kompliceiert Beziehung zu Sloane, hierer Mom respektiv hierer Fra, eng Amerikanerin, die an den USA net ging opfallen, mehr als Abwanderin a China immer am Mittelpunkt dürf stuhen. Bucher furchte bei den Effekt von der Sloane ihrer exzentrischer Persönlichkeit ob die Liebe von ihrer Familie. Die französisch-chinesisch-amerikanische Autrice Aubrey Lescure war des Woche ob Invitation vom Bücher Club Between the Lines an der City-Bibliothek für das Buch zu präsentieren. Und Nicola Kalmes dürfte sich nur mit ihr erhalten.
River East, River West is your first novel. Becoming a novelist involves a lot of peripheral work to writing, most notably networking and also signing with a publisher, in your case William Morrow / Harper Collins, which ties your name to those of Ray Bradbury, Neil Gaiman, and also the recently deceased Nikku Giovanni. How does this come to be? Why did they sign with you? Why did you sign with them?
I always love talking about the publishing journey because it does seem so gatekept and unreachable for so many people who dream of becoming published writers. And what I actually experienced was that, in my case, networking was not really necessary. And I say that with a lot of joy because I'm an introvert and I hate networking. And I did have this perception that, oh, to be published, you have to know someone who knows someone. You have to hang out in particular circles in order to get access to these opportunities. And of course, publishing markets work differently in different countries. But this has been true for me both in the United States and the United Kingdom, that I sent out my manuscript to agents cold. I didn't know those agents. I just found their interest lists and their names and their email addresses online. And this is eventually how I did find my literary agent, who then was able to sell it to William Morrow in the United States and Duckworth in the United Kingdom. But I think this is good news for everyone that you don't have to go to a fancy New York or London literary soiree and know the right people in order to get published. I think what's most important is making sure your manuscript and your work is the best it can possibly be and help it find the right agent, the right person to publish it.
Well, River East, River West is full of nods to American culture and brands. It is also a love letter to Shanghai and Chinese fiction, much lesser known around these parts. You mentioned, among other, Leslie Cheung and the Farewell, My Concubine movie. Why so?
I'm so glad you picked up on Leslie Cheung and Farewell, My Concubine. So the novel's working title at one point was Alienation, and that's actually drawn from the Alienation Effect, the famous theater and film theory by Bertolt Brecht. And I actually took a film studies course in university when I became obsessed with Alienation Effect, and learning that Brecht actually first conceived of it when watching a Chinese traditional opera, and namely one that starred Mei Lanfang, this famous traditional opera singer who Leslie Cheung plays in Farewell, My Concubine. So it kind of all ties together. In the book, my teenage protagonist, at some point, she is addicted to American trashy movies and TV shows. So it's kind of a high-low culture contrast that she also stumbles upon Brecht's Alienation Effect. And she just is thinking about how in China, everyone is performing. And everyone is aware that everyone is performing, but you can get lost in the role you are playing in the society, which I think has a lot to do with the Alienation Effect and the idea that if you're playing a role, remind the audience and yourself not to get lost in it. So that was kind of, I think, only the nerdiest of readers listening to this might see how this all comes together. But on a larger level, it was important for me to write a novel where not only there were nods to American culture, but it didn't dominate. That Chinese poetry, Chinese movies, Chinese writers, Chinese culture was also given a big spotlight in the book, because I think the problem with a lot of expat novels about China or set in China is it's very narcissistic and centered on being foreigners and the expat experience, and we forget the cultural richness and history of the society that it's set in.
Preparing this for this interview was challenging because the greatest questions you ask yourself actually in the book, however, you don't necessarily answer them. So I would like to read out some of the passages and ask the author what she asks the reader. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
What if she was only the byproduct of a fake story, a stage performance her mother had put on in China, a reenactment of some romanticized colonial tale? Could a person live out her life in a foreign country as performance art, give birth as performance art, raise a child as performance art? Was that why they'd never left China? Because it was Sloane's stage.
I'm so glad we talk a little bit about the alienation effect right before this. I very much had that in mind when I was writing that passage. The book is fundamentally a family story in many ways, but it's also about choices that parents make and the effects that they can have on children. So in the case of my teenage heroine, Alva, she is half Chinese and half American, and she feels like she has a connection and almost entitlement to the West in some ways through her mother. But because her mother, a white woman, chooses persistently to remain in China, Alva was born and raised there, and as a teenager, as a child, she has no option to really see what's beyond. And she knows that her mother claims to have been an actress and clearly enjoys the spotlight of being a foreigner in China. So I think this is a teenager's reckoning with what if my life, my birth, my circumstances are very specific and arbitrary results of my parents' choices that benefited them more than they benefited me. I think most children who are lucky to grow up in a stable, healthy household will often think my parents made choices in order to benefit me. And this is almost a reversal of that, of saying, what if my whole existence is a result of one person's performance art, and I lack the choices of the places I could be or the cultures I have access to because of one parent's flaws. I think it's about reckoning with a parent's flaws as well. But all the while, I want to underline, I think Alva is also in some ways very grateful for her mother's choice in some strange roundabout way, because she does love Shanghai and she does love having grown up in Shanghai. And this novel is not just about fantasizing about the West and resenting being in China. It's about the complexity of yearning to see what's beyond and feeling the constraints of where you can go.
By the end of the book, Alva has not really found the closure she was looking for, at least entirely so. And according to her mother, Sloane, such a thing does not really exist. We just carry our experiences with us. Do you personally believe that we just carry our experiences with us, or that there's some closure to be found in the grander scheme of things?
This is a deeply, deeply philosophical question. I think I both believe that we carry our experiences with us. We are shaped by them on a molecular level that we are probably not even aware of ourselves, what the deep reverberations of each of our experiences might have with us over the years. But I also do profoundly believe that one can change and people can change, and that past experiences, they might be bruises and sorrows, they might be joys, but they don't need to define us for the rest of our lives. And to be more specific, I think a lot about parent-child relationships. And I think for most of my 20s, I had this conception that the relationship between a parent and a child is exactly frozen in time as what it was when you reach age 18, that by the time you graduate from adolescence to adulthood, your parent-child relationship is all of the joys and happiness and traumas and anger of exactly everything that happened in those first 18 years. And then I think in the past decade, I'm 31 now, it's been a process of learning that your parent-child relationship will exist forever. It will exist even when you're middle-aged and your parents are elderly. It will exist when you're elderly and your parents are gone. And it is not a static thing frozen in time, defined by the first 18 years of our joys and wounds. It is something you can actively reckon with and understand and change. It's an ongoing process. And, you know, maybe to some wise listeners, this sounds just like common sense. But for me, it was actually a revelation when I realized, even though my relationship with my family and my parents felt so defined by the first decade or so of my life, it was a process I could actively control and change and steer towards the best. And it's still ongoing. And actually, I think the last line of the dedications of this book are to my parents. And it says, the story still being written, which I think comes from this sentiment.
Dat war Tob Ray Lescure am Gespräch mit Nicola Kalmes über ihren ersten Roman River East, River West. Die kommt last year bei Duckworth heraus, anders an all Boutique zu finden, den englischsprachigen Literaturubit.